Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins. And Dr. Blevins, always good to have you on the program.
Glad to be back. It's been a beautiful weekend. And I guess with all the storms coming out, we got to watch out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good several days here weather-wise. And every time I talk about the weather, I always think about the jail project, which we talk about on a regular basis here on the program. And as I drive by it, it looks just about like it's almost complete.
Very, very close, very close.
What's left to do?
Well, just the final things, make sure everything's hooked up properly. They've got to put all the doors in and put all the electronics in each of the doors. We only had one change order request, and actually didn't have to vote on it because he's trying to get some figures on it, but it's an additional filter for one of the fans that brings in the air from the outside. It would basically filter it before it gets into the machine. They say it'll save us money in the long run. He thought around $14,000, $16,000. We'll hopefully get an exact figure by next month and go ahead and authorize that. But we're getting very close. There's not many other changes going to have to be made. We're just very pleased. We're looking forward to getting it open and hopefully solving not only Round County's problem with overcrowding, but many of the other communities.
Yeah, I saw something today that was on the Associated Wire before I came in to speak to you, and it was a story in regards to the fact that Kentucky's prison space would be completely used up. We'd be at capacity by about the middle of 2019. And I thought, man, that's incredible.
We're in big trouble. And, of course, they're looking at doing privatization of some of those prisons. There's three private prisons that have been in Kentucky. They're all closed now. The first one they're looking to talk about is Lee County, and that's because of the reformatory down in Oldham County is just, I guess the building is defunct. It can't hardly be used. They've got to move them somewhere. We don't have the jail space, so they're going to maybe bring in private prisons. I argue that we should be spending money on Ellett County. That was built for expansion, and they're sitting there with a facility that could hold probably 1,000 more prisoners, and they don't want to do anything with it. The governor says he didn't want to build any more in prisons, even though when we built that facility, it was built with the intention of enlarging the, or at least increasing the beds in that facility, because the cafeteria, the gyms, and all that stuff are already built up to spec for a larger facility.
Yeah, when you talk about the Little Sandy Correctional Complex, it's right there. As you mentioned, it's expandable. But at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, even with opening up these private prisons, with the way things are going in terms of the number of prisoners that Kentucky is taking in, they may not have a choice but to expand it.
Well, I think they're looking at doing some penal reform, looking to maybe raise the threshold on I guess shoplifting as far as maybe, I think it's $500. I think the Texas, who's really usually a state you think is tough on crime, they raised that. I think there's up to $2,500. I think we're looking at maybe trying to raise up to at least 1,000. I mean, you keep some of those people, a lot of them are younger people. A lot of them are people that are desperate, and I guess they try it one time, get caught, because there's too many cameras nowadays to do anything. You get caught at everything. So, but when you're desperate and when you're young, you don't realize that, and that would keep some of those facilities, maybe not have to put those people in prison for our jails as well.
And the long-range solution is somehow finding a fix for the opioid problem here in the state, because that's the reason many of these people are now going into the jails and the prisons, because of crimes they either commit that are drug-related or crimes they commit to feed their drug habits.
It's a terrible scourge on our economy and on our state, on all our prisons, our jails, our hospitals, our it's a terrible curse on this state, and we've got to get a handle on that as well.
Getting back to Rowan County's new detention center, you mentioned that you just had the change order, and there have been some during the course of the project, which is normal.
Yeah.
At the same time, I would think that you're about done with those.
I think we're very close to being finished with all the change orders. We put aside almost $1 million, and we've probably used around between $350 and $400 of it. And of course, that means we'll have some money to be able to expend on the facility and maybe also maybe pay some of the debts off of some of the other bondings we have.
When do you expect actual completion of the jail?
I think they're looking at probably May, I think, is going to be sometime in May, it looks like.
Okay.
And again, I'm still trying to get the people in the community, the charities in the community, to try to have an open house and let them raise some money through the facility. The jail needs money. Actually, we decided as a court yesterday to give them about $13,000 to redo the roof on the old jail next to the art center. They're going to try to turn those in. They've got the first floor renovated, but the second floor they're working on. And my court seemed very generous yesterday, and we're willing to give them about, not yet, but when they come back with some estimates, we'll probably go ahead and find $13,000, help them put a new roof on that facility.
I know that the local historical society has been working on trying to refurbish the old jail, and it's kind of a neat project.
It is a neat project. I wasn't really for that building before because nothing had been done on it. It really needed a lot of work, and, of course, it's going to be right in the front of a beautiful facility that the Adrian Doran Student Center, and I know the university didn't want to see either one of those buildings there, and I was probably with them on that because I think we could have dressed up the whole community. But the people in the arts community stood up, and they decided they want to do it. I'm going to do what I can, and I have been doing what I can to try to help them have success.
Have you had a chance to go in there and tour it?
I haven't really been in to tour it. There's so many other things going on, and that's their project. It's not a county project now, but we're still involved. That's still our building. It's our piece of property. But I have faith in that group that they're going to continue to raise the funds and to put in the extra volunteers to make sure that becomes a reality.
It's a very historic structure.
It was
built in the 1930s, and it's always hard to give up a piece of history in your town, because if you look around Moorhead, unlike certain other downtowns, say Winchester or Mount Sterling, we don't have that same sense of history.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure. Maybe the architects at that time or the builders weren't as good as some of these other communities. I'm not sure what happened, but a lot of our historic buildings have been torn down. I'd like to see – I wish we would have kept some of them. I was very helpful in the saving of the Art Center, the old courthouse. To me, that would have been such a tragedy to tear that down, turn it into a parking lot or a building lot, either one. It just beautifies the community, and it's a good place for people to come together and enjoy themselves. I go to many of the plays there and some of the art exhibits. It's a great asset to have.
It's turned into a real success story, hasn't
it? Really has. I think it's a great success story.
Well, let's talk about some of the other things going on in the county. I was going to ask you about this. I know that the county has agreed to work with the city on the new splash pad project out at the Perkins property, which is located next to the Green Hill City Park, for those of you who don't know. But this is a great piece of collaboration between the city and county. I was talking to Mayor Jim Tom Trent about this a little bit, and I said, do you look possibly somewhere down the road, and it could be a few years down the road, where the city and county might work together to collaborate financially on a new recreation center?
I have to say that I think the city council and my court have been very easy to get along with. There's not been many moments where we've had to pull out the proclivities that you'd like to say, mean things to each other. And it's been a good group to work together. I'm glad to see that. I think that it's always better when communities, city and county, can work together and not be at odds. We all have the same struggles. We all have the same tax base, pretty much, and it's important that we try to work together to get the most out of those revenues that we do receive from the public, and to try to solve the problems that we see. And we think that was a great movement that we put $250,000 out of our budget for the Splash Park, and we want to be a partner in that.
I had mentioned the recreation center. Actually, I meant recreation park. I know that's been a long time desire by many people here, and I know it's been discussed for probably 10-15 years now. So at some point, though, do you see the city and county perhaps partnering on such an effort?
I wish we could partner now, because Sunnybrook looks like it's going to go on the auction block or I guess private bids on it, and I don't think we're allowed to do that as a county or a city, and I wish we could work something out, but my court is just not ready to take that property over, and it doesn't look like the city can do that as well. So that's probably the best piece of property you can find in the county for that price, for a recreational park for the whole community, the whole county. And I'm sad to see that that's probably not going to happen now. We'll have to find, hopefully in the future we'll be able to do that, find a good piece of property. But we're going to be paying probably two or three times what we would have paid for Sunnybrook. And that's just not a good way to spend your money. Not spending money is going to cost us money.
At the same time, I guess the good news is the building of a recreation park still remains at the forefront of discussions. It's not been completely set aside where people say, no, we're just not ever going to be able to do this. People seem to still want it, and they're still looking for ways to try to make it happen.
I think you'll see it eventually. Of course, I'm going to be leaving in probably early January, be my last day as a public official. I wish I could have accomplished that. Tried to talk my people into it, but just wasn't able to get them to vote correctly.
How badly needed is that facility in your mind?
I think it's the number one project. If you listen to the debates we had last year, probably the number one project was making sure we had the jail, because we already sold our jail and we had to do something. So, and the second thing at that time, and that's 4 years ago, is recreation. I think all of us realized we were lacking in a good recreational park where that you can have tournaments and bring and make money off of it. Because if you have a nice facility, people come from all around and play in tournaments. And I wish we could have done that. That's probably the thing that I'm the most disappointed about, is not being able to have a plan, or at least moving forward on a recreational park.
You know, one thing that you and I have talked about too as well, and this is again a financial issue, the shape of the county roads, because there's been less and less state support to help pay for road improvements here. At this point in your mind, as you look at things around Rowan County, what type of shape are the roads in?
I think we're in relatively decent shape. I don't get many phone calls. I'm sure the magistrates probably do. There's always going to be, when you have freezing weather, when you have rainy weather like this, there's always going to be some problems. But my group of people at the barn out there, and Paul Brown, my road foreman, I think they do a terrific job. They're out there trying to solve the problems for the people here in this community as fast as they can. I wish we had more money. Again, the state has cut back. We were used to getting maybe $350,000 to $400,000 in discretionary dollars. I think we got $112,000 last year, and we still have not got discretionary dollars this year. We're hoping that we'll still receive those. But when we raised the payroll tax, that 0.5%, we decided to put some of that money, if after we take care of the debt, paying the notes, that we were going to try to put that money into recreation was part of that, but also into the roads and also into safety and security measures, ambulance service, those types of things.
At the same time, while the roads are in good shape now with state support declining, are you concerned about their future maybe 4 or 5 years down the road?
I think you have to be. There's not enough money to and the other thing is we used to match federal dollars with what they call toll credits, and I'm not sure exactly how that works, but each community that had toll roads was each state that had toll roads were given credits for having toll roads, and we had those built up over a period of time because we had a lot of toll roads in Kentucky at one time. I think next year is the end of those tolls, and it means that we're going to have to take state dollars to match federal dollars. I know the President of the United States up there, he's talked about raising the gas tax. CAICO and many, I think Farm Bureau and a lot of other Chamber of Commerce, a lot of groups around here, including the county judges and all the magistrates, would like to see a gas increase, a tax on the gas. We think... at one time we were 32 cents per gallon on a state tax, and that was bringing in enough money that we were basically able to maintain, actually build some new roads. And now we're looking at really tough times ahead, and if they don't raise that revenue, raise that some way, and that, I think the gas tax is probably the fairest way. You still need – there's more and more people that are using electric cars and hybrid cars, and those people, we're going to have to find a way to make them pay for use of the roads as well. So if we don't do something on the national and state level, we're going to be in dire straits on our roads in a few years.
Again, our guest on the front page, Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. We'll go ahead and pause on the show, come back with more in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, our guest is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. Doc, as we continue our discussion, I know that there was something that was brought up in terms of a resolution to support House Bill 166 and Senate Bill 118, which involves the legalization of medical marijuana, but I understand that this gained no traction whatsoever.
No traction. We had a good debate. There was a lot of pretty much had to bring in extra chairs for the people who wanted to sit there and listen to it, and I could not get a second. I think it's something that it would move the state forward, and 29 other states have medical marijuana, allow medical marijuana to be used by prescribed by doctors. I think District of Columbia as well has done that. It hadn't been a terrible thing, as far as I can tell, in those states, and I've not heard any of them repealing it as of yet. I think Kentucky, we've got people here with an opiate crisis. They say that the amount of opiate abuse and the amount of drugs that are used in those states is declined because of the use of medical marijuana. Medical marijuana means that and actually this had a tax in it. It's an excise tax that would help the state fund some of these kinds of programs. It would give, and if you were the community that had this dispensary, I guess you'd call it, or I think it was called a healing or a caring center, you would actually receive, I think, 10% of those excise tax that could be used for police departments and also maybe in some treatment. That's our senator from a different party than mine. He's a Republican. I'm a Democrat, but I still think he's on the right path in trying to do this. Our neighboring representative, who John Sims up in Fleming County, has got the bill that I was basically trying to support because he has the tax revenue in it. You can't put a tax bill into a Senate bill. But to me, I think the state would be better served by allowing people that are in cancer, dying of cancer, people that are with pain disorders, with people that with epilepsy. We had some good testimony from a lady she had a sack full of pills that she has to take just to keep her epilepsy down. Dr. Milan, he gave some real difficult testimony to overcome. I'm a dentist, not a physician, and he had a lot of information that I think swayed my members to maybe not endorse it. I wish I would have had a doctor there to debate him on some of those things because it's hard. People tend to believe the doctor's right on everything. My problem is that I think a lot of the research that is done is paid for by Big Pharma, and Big Pharma does not want to see this happen. I think they've fought it every time they've had a chance, and I think that's one reason that it's hard to defeat because they have so much money and so much information to spread on this issue. They gave people at least a chance to air it out, talk about it. I wish we could have allowed it to happen, and it basically we didn't do anything other than we just encouraged the General Assembly to support the bill and give us the people of Kentucky the same opportunity other states have.
From what I understand, the main objection to these two bills is they allow for the smoking of marijuana, and in talking with some of the local law enforcement agents, I said we're not necessarily against medical marijuana in pill form or perhaps the cannabidiol, which is the oil form mm-hmm. of marijuana, but the smoking part of it, they're not for, and obviously they feel like that this could wind up in the wrong hands and in the hands of people who are using it for recreational use, which they're not for at all.
I understand that, and we were not endorsing recreational marijuana. There is a bill in Frankfort to do that out of the Republican Party, one of the Republican leadership, but our resolution that I was trying to get the court to approve only dealt with medical marijuana. It does allow some smoking in there, allows people to use it for that and what I was told is that people with esophageal cancer and those kinds of things, they can't take it any other way than perhaps being able to smoke it. And if it gives them some relief in their final days of life, that they're in better condition or they feel better, it's hard for me to say we shouldn't let people have that opportunity to use it.
So you're disappointed, obviously.
I'm disappointed. I think, but again, we had a good debate, and I think it's good for our community. It shows that we're at least looking at different issues, and that issue, again, is sponsored by our senator and also our neighboring state representative. And I've been told the one bill in the House is at least going to get a hearing. They'll have some debate on it, so I'm anxious to hear how that turns out on the, at least how the debate goes, and hopefully I'll get a listen in on that as well.
I'm kind of curious about another issue here on the agenda. You discussed it looks like the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, which is owned by Morehead State University currently, and in the governor's two-year budget proposal, he suggests closing this facility because it would save about $200,000. What did you guys talk about?
We talked about the importance of it. Matt Collinsworth was there, and also Adrian Swain was there, who basically started this whole folk art museum. I was trying to get my court aware of what was occurring, that we are losing funds, and that is an important piece of our community, something that I'd hate to see us lose it. I'm just trying to get them ready to hopefully come up with some state county dollars to help maybe offset what the state's trying to do. We have great hope that $200,000 out of a $9, $10, $11 billion budget is not a lot of money. That I think that if some people feel like because Rocky may be running for governor, that the governor's trying to cut everything Rocky's got and put a lot of pressure on him. But we hope that's not the case, but it appears that's what's happening. We're losing our Small Business Administration facility. That's something that's been around for probably 25, 30 years. And, again, that hits Morehead State University. And we're very concerned about that. We hope that we can save all those programs, and maybe they'll find a way to do that.
You know, there had been rumors that perhaps the local tourism commission might be interested in taking over the Kentucky Folk Arts Center if it is cut from the budget and Morehead State no longer has it. Do you know anything about that?
I know we've had meetings with the tourism board and or some of the members of that, the president of it, chairman of it, and also with the city, myself, the county, and the university, and we're going to try to find a way to maintain that. They have some money in reserves, the Folk Arts Center has itself, so it's not going to be closed July the 1st. We're hoping we can at least maintain it, try to come up with some kind of a plan, go out and try to raise funds statewide, nationwide if we can, to make sure that we don't lose that. It's an asset. And it's kind of, if you go on the interstate, that's the one big sign that we have to really attract people into our community. And I'd hate to see us lose that, and I hate to see us lose that. A lot of beautiful artworks in there that has got value, and hopefully in the future will have more value, especially when we're trying to have a TIF to bring a downtown hotel to bring more people to the community. And that's one of the attractions we think that helps bring people to the community.
How difficult do you think it will be to save this facility?
Well, it's difficult time. I mean, it's all of us are in tough times as far as budgets. My county budget is much better than some of the others. But, again, I don't think we can take on the whole responsibility. It's going to take the university and the tourism board, the city, and ourselves, and hopefully we can maintain it. I just hate to see us lose that.
I would say that probably discussions continue, right?
Oh, they'll definitely discuss it. The discussion will continue. Again, we have high hopes that the House budget and the Senate budget eventually will have funding in there for that facility.
One good thing is you got through the winter, it looks like, pretty well. I mean, we're not through March
no,
yet.
March
you
can be
you can wind up getting a couple of snowstorms in March. But at the same time, so far so good in terms
so far, so
of
good.
Your salt supply.
We've got
things.
About 200 ton of salt available. That's probably enough for maybe one, maybe two storms. But we'll be cutting it close. We'll have to go out here and purchase some in the near future if we have more bad weather. But it's hard to say. Our weather is so it changes so quickly, and you don't know what's going to happen. Because I mean, March could turn around and be the worst month in the year as far as snowstorms. I remember some marches when I was growing up that were, and actually not that far ago, that back when I was state representative, we had some terrible snows in March. So they usually don't last as long, but still they do. It takes salt and a lot of man work to get it off the streets.
Well, as always, we appreciate your time on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Again, Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins, our guest on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. See you next time.